Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Marvine, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the most recent email class. Welcome, Marvine.
Hi.
Ah, there you are. Welcome, Marvine.
Thank you.
Excellent. So I was just saying that you're here to speak with us about your experience of participating in the Socratic email class.
Yes. Do you want to lead me or you want me to just jump in?
Michael, can you hear me?
Sure. There you are.
It feels a little bit like cell phone do-si-do here. All right. And we've still got Marvine?
Yes.
As far as I know. Yes. Good.
Excellent. Okay. So where were we, Marvine?
I was asking, do you want to lead me or do you want me to just jump in?
Well, I'll tell you what seems like would be fun is one of the things that was so exciting about the class to begin with, I think, when once it was announced, but that I heard it over and over from people talking about it in groups and other practice settings, is being able to have those choose your own topic, basically, your own theme that you wanted to look at, and then to have those 10 interactions with the guide and trace the arc through that and what that was like. So I'd love to hear your experience of that in particular, if that were.
Well, that was one of the points I thought about before the call that I wanted to make sure and make is how that particular idea of having a sort of a one-on-one conversation with the guide,
mm-hmm.
where she knew who I was and knew my issue, so to speak, and followed it through and gave mm-hmm. me guidance based on what I was reporting back in about what was happening. And it was just great. I started out sort of not even knowing what my issue would be or could be or should be mm-hmm. and all of that, and just noodled and noodled and noodled for days on end, and then finally said, well, that's my issue. It's noodling. And trying to figure things out.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Oh, that's a great practice moment right there, isn't it? Is to realize, wait, of course, whatever process is happening right here in the moment, that's the one that's here to look at. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's the one that's what I thought, well, you know, nothing else is coming in. That must be what it is.
Yeah.
So the big question for me was how do you explore how you quote unquote look at something without noodling and getting up in your head about it. And she just guided me through, and it was amazing. Each time it was like there was something else for me to ask a question about or to report on, and then there was more guidance. I will say something funny. She, on the second submission, she wrote back, I asked her questions, of course, and she wrote back and says, oh, I hope you continue to explore that. And I'm like, what? How am I supposed to work with this?
Where are my answers?
Where's my answer? And yet, the more I just accepted that that's all I was going to get and just was with that, was fine. It's probably perfect that, you know, there was a lot to see.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the whole thing went, that, you know, and by the end of the session, by the end of the 10 weeks, I was like, I felt transformed in a way that's never happened before. And maybe I was ready for it, and maybe it was the structure of the email class. It just... I became so much more confident in simply waiting and letting life do what life does, just compress. And so much less feeling the need to get up there and figure it out or to define it or label it or judge it or all of that. It just was like, let's just see what happens.
Yeah. You know what's amazing about what you're describing, Marvine, is that, you know, the way conditioning gets is we get dragged down into the content, right? And whatever the content is, even if content is, well, how do I stop noodling? How do I look at something without noodling, right? Even that can be content, right? I want an answer to that. I want to figure that out. But then to be willing to be guided through the process that I think, certainly with my experience as well, was sort of the whole basis of the class, which is to guide us to get to the process underneath it. And when we get to that process place, it serves us so well across the board in our life. Because if you had gotten an answer to your question, well, then there's just the next question. Okay, well, what about this question? Okay, well, what about this one?
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And there is no answer.
Right.
It's just an answer is just something we think we understand, but we probably don't, is what she said as I paraphrase it. And it's
go ahead.
It's just a fleeting moment, and it's just not necessary.
Yeah. Not necessary, and in fact, probably not helpful. Because what are we going to do? We're going to try to drag that into the next moment where it won't be relevant.
Right, exactly. But we'll be in the process of asking questions and wanting answers instead of in the process of just being open to what is.
Yes, yes. Well,
having come away from the class with the ability to be with what is and to sit with that, I can't remember how you phrased it exactly, but the patience to just let it unfold. Wow, that's something that will serve us in our whole life.
Yes, and it's something new for me to be able to just say, well, whatever, or let's wait and see, or I don't need to know that. I don't need to fix it. Just let it go.
Yeah.
And that's new for me. It feels really good. It's so much more relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, amen. Amen. I think it's new for a lot of us. Yeah. Oh, it's so perfect because, I mean, then we really get it, what practice is always pointing at with there are no mistakes and everything we need is in this moment.
Right.
You know, it's all right here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I know we were talking about the class recently in group and talked about, gosh, I hope we have more like this because the structure of it was just so beautifully tailored for each person to have their own experience and yet also the exquisiteness of being able to read through the what other folks were bringing in. I mean, even just everyone's first submission of what they're looking at and the first guidance to those, gosh, that's
yes.
amazing for all of us.
Yes, and there was something to be, if you want to use the word learned, there was something to be gained, if you want to use that word, by reading all of those, or as many of them as you could, because there's just always something that the guide is speaking to that just it just comes into you, and you may not need it right now, but it'll be there later.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. And in exactly the way you just described a minute ago, it's there later in the moment that you need it. You don't have to hang on to it. To memorize it, you don't have to write it down. It just comes back around, circles back around when it needs to.
And that's the one of the things, this idea that you just wait for it to come back around or you wait for it to drop in when it's time for it to drop in. That was not something that was easy for me to accept or to understand or feel or any of that. And it just now it's more like, it just is what it is, and it'll be there when I need it, and if it's not there now, I probably don't need it now.
Right.
I might think I need it now, but I probably really don't.
Right, because it sounds like you had a direct experience of it, and that's what practice is always pointing at. You know, we hear things over and over and over. The guide says them. They're in the books. We hear it on the radio shows. We hear fellow Sangha say it, and eventually, once we have our own experience of it, that's when it really clicks in for us.
That's right.
And it sounds like that's what happened for you in the class.
Yes. Yeah. Something definitely kind of turned, moved.
Yeah.
There was something that happened, and the outlook is different. The willingness, the confidence, the courage, the patience, all of that, it's like it just came in and said, okay. And now I'm like, okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah, exactly. Right, to look at anything. Anything.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready to look at what's next, whatever happens next.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Marvin. That was really a beautiful articulation of the class, I think, for probably all of us. So thank you for being on this afternoon to to give us your experience.
Well, thank you. All right. Gotcha.
Okay, gotcha. Take good care.
Okay, bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marvin. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
How are you?
Good.
I'm great. Yeah, glad to be on the air here. And that was a very fun conversation.
It was. I love hearing people's experience of that. I know what mine was and how much I loved it, and it's fun to hear other people talk about their experience of it, because you never know. You know, when you're doing something like that, there's no way to know what anybody else's experience is. Everybody's just out there having their own. And, I mean, I know what people are saying to me, obviously, but I don't know what's happening for them. Are you having a good time? Is it hard? Is it painful? Are you just being a sport? Are you getting anything out of this? So that it's good. It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, exciting. Mm-hmm. Fun to explore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have announcements here, unless you would like to launch us in a different direction first.
No. I there's no launch happening.
Okay. I'll wait for takeoff later, huh?
I'll wait for takeoff. Somebody has to, like the afterburners or whatever the heck the image would be.
Yes. The Jataka Tales Retreat is May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina. And it will use the marvelous stories of the Buddha's incarnations to explore the antidotes to the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. This retreat with Sherry and Ashwini offers yoga, meditation, delicious meals, guidance with you, Sherry, and time to relax in the beautiful grounds of the sanctuary in the pines.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope people will take advantage of this one. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I hope people will take advantage of all the retreats that they have an opportunity to attend. But this is a favorite.
Yes. And if you didn't know it already, there really is nothing wrong with you. And to do the compassionate work of finding that out for yourself, register now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California, June 1st through 8th, and in North Carolina, June 30th through July 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Practice the art and skill of paying attention and deepen your awareness practice with reflective listening buddies. A new quarter begins April 15th.
Such good training.
Yes, excellent.
It really is. It is such good training. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and as you often say, it's my experience to see how did I miss that? Where was I when the other person was talking? When it was my turn to pay attention and reflect.
Right, when they stop talking and I go, what?
How did that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen? Where do I go when I'm not here and I think I am?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a reminder that we are now on bamboozle number 3, fear, and the assignment for week 1.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd say, Michael, go ahead and say that, and I'll tell you. Well, I talk to so many people in practice now. Something will come up, and they'll say, oh, well, I have my coin right here from the last bamboozle. You're just flipping coins. It's like, well, do you want to, oh, I got my coin right here. It's great.
It is great to have everybody working on the same project at the same
time. Yeah, it's such solidarity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful. And for all of these practice opportunities and others we haven't even heard of, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you may recall, Sherry, that Linda was cut off short of her time last week, and she's here at the top of our queue, and so we'll start with her.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Okay, Linda, I think that's you, and you are now live on the air.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Hi. Oh, good connection, too.
Yes.
All right. Now, where were we or where are we? I don't know if you want to go back to where you were last week or where you are now, or possibly those are the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's probably always the same thing, but I think I'd like to go with this week, what's going on.
All right.
So my topic lately is conflict and how to deal with conflict. And so seem to be in the middle of another one, and so I'm not sure what I want to say about it, but I'm in a position where I am an office manager, basically, and we have one employee who's sort of loses it, or you know, has a bad temper, and has on several occasions really led into another employee.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I have to do something about it. and the belief that I've been working with a lot is I hate conflict. So I mean, to the point like I can't handle it. Like it's like I just can't deal with it. And I realized that is egocentric, karmic conditioning, self hate. I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely a conversation in conditioned mind.
Right.
Right? Yeah, because you're getting that information. You hate this. You can't deal with this. This is, yeah.
Right. So it's like, I guess my question is, do I go to the opposite? Do I go, oh, I love conflict? I mean, I don't know. It's like I don't know what to think instead, because obviously when conflict happens, I'm not happy. And,
yeah.
So there.
Okay, so you're programmed to be unhappy.
Right.
But I'm going to speculate that you actually don't know what you're experiencing. Because what happens to us, if we look at it in a, you know, let's pretend it's not you, it's somebody else, and maybe this person gets their feelings hurt, whatever
right.
that means. And so they live in a story of my feelings get hurt. And after a while, the person has no idea themselves what that means. It's just that something happens, and they go into a conversation in conditioned mind. So are their feelings hurt? I mean, what does that even mean? My feelings
right.
are hurt, right? It means there's a trigger, and I'm launched into a conversation in conditioned mind, and I'm completely cut off from, out of touch with whatever might actually be going on with me in the present if I were here. Because
right.
I'm not here. Yeah? I'm into an old story. So with this, you in conflict, the same thing applies. So there's something that happens. There's a trigger, and there are probably a lot of them, actually,
right.
that signal conflict. And then it flashes across the sky in giant letters, and you are catapulted into a conversation. So you're no longer present to what's happening. And instead of, ooh, I love conflict, which might be a stretch, what I'm hoping you will do is to become curious about what in the heck are we talking about here? What are we talking about? I mean, so these people are, this person is doing whatever they're doing, and then you're going to need to interact with those people.
Right.
And what they're doing. And so you actually don't know anything about that. So
right.
to become curious about, well, what does any of this mean? Am I afraid somebody's going to kill me? Are they going to hit me? Are they going to hate me? Are they going to start screaming at me? Are they going to, you know, what's really going on here?
Right.
And so the only way you're going to get a sense of that is to be present as the whole thing unfolds. And then you will see what you're being told that causes you to believe, I hate conflict. So, for instance, if you decided that you don't want to be a lawyer, you want to be a mediator.
Right.
You want to be a mediator. Now, this is somebody who is fascinated by conflict and getting people to a place of resolution where everyone has the best possible outcome. That's
right.
What they love to do.
I didn't get there. I had the mediation session, and I did not succeed in that. So.
Yes. Well, they're doing something different from what you're doing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I only bring that up because...
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay. Because there is a part of you that is always curious about how people interact with each other. And so, but then I think what's happening is that I'm wanting them to be a certain way. Like, I want this person to forgive that person. I want that person to not, you know, be so hateful. I mean, I think part of my problem is I want them to be different than, I want them to act the way I think they should act. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense?
Uh-huh. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Because in that conversation you live in, that would solve your problem.
Right.
Right? But again, with them, we don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so to bring a level of curiosity to this that in essence says, let's all get to the bottom of what's going on. You know, we're all good people. Is everybody a good person?
It's possible. I think one person it's hard to say if she is or not. I feel like she has two personalities. It's like she can be so hateful, and even when she... And then the next day she'll act like, you know, she's the nicest person in the world, and you're kind of going, I don't know who you are.
That's right. And she might not either.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she really does. Right.
Yes. And so it'll be fun to find out, because it's easy to project that somebody who, with that kind of Dr. Jekyll and Ms. Hyde thing going on, she's had a bit of rejection in her life.
Right.
Right. But there's something that sets her off. There's something that happens, and she goes to that place that we would call hateful. Well, it could be disappointment. It could be hurt feelings, the classic reaction of hurt feelings. You know, she's upset. She's afraid. Something happens that sets her off. And so if she launches at me periodically, ooh, that's the third launch of this call. It must be my word for the day. So if she comes at me with some regularity, and I take that personally, well, that's pretty silly, because I'm not the only person she's doing this with. So it's her issue. And so I can be interested or fascinated. I wish she stopped, or I could ignore her completely. I have a lot of options in how I would respond to that, but I really don't need to take it personally. So, as my teacher would say, we're as much of a pain in the neck when we take offense as when we give offense. So, if this gal were able to just act out and go crazy periodically, and everybody just looked the other way and went about their business, and then when she got over herself, we all took it back up again, there would be no problem. But but everybody else is as engaged as she is.
Right.
Yeah? So that's the kind of thing that I am hoping that you'll become curious about, rather than stuck in, I just wish she were different. Because who doesn't wish somebody, including ourselves, was different?
Different, right.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm not sure. So am I curious about my reactions to it, or am I actually curious about...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the first
mostly what I'm curious about is me, right? My reactions to it, not
That's right.
I can't really know there.
Well, eventually you will.
Right.
Eventually you will. Because when you're open to, when you get to that place of, hey, I'm all right within myself. This is fine. Whatever goes on, I'm fine. I'm going to be, I'm practicing being here. I'm practicing being present. It's going to be okay. I'm going to breathe through it. Now you can be open to a lot of information that wasn't available to you when you just went immediately into the, I hate conflict. I wish they would just act right so this wasn't happening.
Right. Well, I mean, when I'm in there talking to them, I have more of a, I think, a curiosity sort of way of dealing with them. I mean, like, I ask them a lot of questions. I try to find out what's going on, that kind of sort of thing. But
yes.
The person who's taking offense yes. doesn't quit taking offense, and the person who's giving the offense, so to speak, doesn't stop being angry. So it's like...
Yes. Well, if... Do you know why this person is angry? Does
she doesn't like the way we run our office. She feels like things are unfair. I think she probably just has a lot of self-hate of her own. And, I mean, I try to tell her to let's look at what's bothering you and stop comparing yourself to other people in the office and just look at what's bothering you and come to me about that instead of letting things build up and then going off on this other person. And, I mean, she goes off on that. They say that there's only one person in the office so at this point that she hasn't gone off on. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Without a better way. So, but, you know, I mean, nobody. The problem is she does this thing, and then she brings up some fairly valid points. But, I mean, valid points to her. I can see where
yeah.
there might be valid points to her because she can't see the other side of it, even though I've tried to explain it to her several times. And that's part of the problem is we'll discuss it. She'll agree that one of the things is this is way too much content probably, but it's like – we have some people that get off earlier than others, but it's always been that way. She was hired. I said, well, you know, you were hired to work this many hours, and you're being paid for working that many hours. This person was hired to work less hours, and she's being paid to work less hours. Okay, I understand. And then the very next time, she's angry about the same thing. Well, they get off early, and I don't. And so I feel like I'm just hitting my head against the wall.
Right. Well, and now this is another possible approach, and you can let me know how this goes.
Okay.
Instead of I hate conflict, it
right.
becomes I love comedy.
Okay.
Because that's okay. what it is. If people are taking this seriously, wow, what a waste of energy.
Right. I know.
Yeah. So
right.
Maybe within you, that could be an interesting way to approach it. And then see what happens. The curiosity becomes, so what? How am I invested in this? And, of course, we suspect that you're going to quickly find out my investment in this is the story of I hate conflict. So
right.
if you really do hate conflict, start seeing it as comedy.
Okay.
This is funny if you're not invested in it.
In the one in the middle of it, right. Right.
Yeah, this is funny. I mean, yeah. So if you think about that in a and then we do need to go, of course. But if you think about it in a comedy sense, one of the things that makes something funny is repetition.
True.
So somebody does something the first time, okay, maybe not. The sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth time they do the same thing, it gets funny, just simply because it's repeated. Okay,
right.
She has definitely hit the slapstick phase of the operation.
Okay.
The powerful point about this, Linda, is that conditioning hates to be laughed at.
Right.
It hates it anywhere it encounters humor. So to have that humorous approach to you, because what you're watching is basically the same thing happening in you that's happening in her.
Right.
So why do we want her to stop? Well, so I'll stop feeling the way I'm feeling. So if it can be funny in you, If you can see the humor of getting triggered every time this woman gets triggered, you're going to immediately have a different relationship with it.
Okay. I can see that. I have to play with it,
yeah.
Some. But I can see
all right.
It.
Yes. Well, and look to see if, yeah, I can see that, and then how quickly you might forget it. Just the same way she sees, oh, yeah, oh, I understand. And then the next day, she can't remember that those people are getting paid for fewer hours.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So watch to see if you get hoodwinked in the same way where you forget that this is comedy.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
I'm going to do
a
recording about it right now. I mean, as soon as
okay,
that's the call.
All right.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Sarah.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good. We went on a little long.
That's all right.
That's
next call,
okay.
You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Sigrid. This is Sigrid. Hello. I was not expecting to be on, so hi.
Hi, and did you say Sigrid?
Sigrid, yeah.
Ingrid, with an I or an
Sigrid.
S?
Sigrid, with an S.
Sigrid.
Sigrid.
With an S.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
hi.
Welcome. How you doing?
Right now, really, wow. Good. Nervous. Good. Hello.
A lot of energy.
Yes, definitely. Definitely a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what should we talk about this evening?
I am calling with a specific question for guidance, but I just also wanted to be like, hey, I'm here. I've never called before, and I've been practicing for like a good 4 years and doing email classes and stuff, but this is the first time I am calling in, and I listen to the archives all the time, and yay.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling in, because there are those people who hide out and they listen to archives forever, and they don't share their practice with the rest of us, and it's really important that we practice together. So thank you for joining.
Yeah, and thank you. I just, before I get to my guidance, I'll be really quick. I just wanted to express my deep appreciation and gratitude for the practice, because it has been just a lifesaver to me, and it's been really just valuable in my life. And thank you.
Oh, good. Good,
Thank you to the Sangha out there. So.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good practice. It's a great practice. It's a great Sangha. We are very lucky to have one another, and very happy, you see, when we hear from somebody else. So we've got Sangha out there we didn't even know is out there. So it's very makes us happy.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I guess what I've been looking at or wanted some guidance around is acceptance. I have been past couple of years it's been excellent, but it's also been kind of rugged emotionally. I had some kind of heavy family stuff happen like all at once, and I just and a lot of it feels really karmically heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to figure out how to be with it, and just kind of how to be with it and not feel taken down by it. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it does. And so tell me a little bit about how to be with it, what you see about how to be with it. I get the not be taken down. How are you wishing it could be?
Oh, not there at all. I feel like I'm a little bit of context. My my stepfather died, and then my mother got diagnosed with dementia sort of within the same week, and so I've been caretaking for my mother, and it's just like a lot of like heavy karmic sad stuff. And I guess I guess the condition response I'm always getting is I should be able to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm not handling it.
Okay. Now, a couple of questions about it. Have you had a good relationship with your mother?
Yes and no, on and off. There are some issues. Yeah, there's some issues there.
What you run into with her, is it mostly difficulties in the past relationship? Is it mostly what's happening with her now?
I think it's mostly what's happening with her now.
So seeing her kind of slip away or lose her faculties?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, all that, yeah.
Makes you feel...
I mostly just feel a tremendous amount of grief and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit of overwhelm. Just like, whoa, how am I going to do this? How am I going to deal with all this?
And the do this, does that relate to the content of it? How am I going to make these decisions? How will I make sure she's cared for? How will I pay for this? How... Is it that sort of thing, or is it more the emotional?
It's definitely the emotional stuff. The like content, like the getting all the stuff organized, I'm like a boss with that. I can do that. But just sitting with the emotional stuff has been really an overwhelming,
hard.
For lack of a better word. Yeah, hard.
It's so sad, so upsetting that sometimes it feels you can't function. That sort of thing?
And I just tend to kind of push it down, and then it comes up, and I'll get a day where I'm just knocked on my butt by it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So do you know about the two-handed recording exercise?
Yeah.
Okay. That, and, you know, that could be your best friend during this time.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because that daughter really needs to be able to express how she's feeling.
Yeah.
And she needs somebody to listen to her, to hear her. Not necessarily to fix her or change anything, but just to be with her as she experiences the grief, the loss, the fear, the everything that comes up in this kind of situation.
Okay.
And if you try to play all those roles, then you know where that goes, right? And finally, it's just, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Right? Because one person is trying to play all these separate roles.
Yeah.
And it's too much.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes. But with that technique, because... You know, as we practice with it, what we find is that unconditional love and acceptance is what's listening and what's encouraging and supporting and that sort of thing. And that mentor, that unconditional love and acceptance, can be there to, in essence, hold the grieving daughter, can be strength and support for the one who shows up and takes care of all of the details, can be strength and support for when you have to do all of the other things in your life that you have to do. Because before this happened, you probably had a fairly full plate of stuff that had nothing to do with your mother and stepfather.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's all of that. And what to me is so beautiful about this practice is that there's a place to bring all of that. We can come to center, to the mentor, to the present, and we can just bring all of what's going on with us. And we can express it and, in essence, just leave it there. You know, just leave it with that unconditional love and acceptance. And then go on to face the next day, basically, is what it comes down to. Right? It's not like,
yeah,
put that behind me, because the next morning it's all going to be there again. Right?
Yeah.
But you're not alone. You're not trying to handle this on your own. You have an ally.
Yeah.
And better than even than having a best friend that you can talk to about this sort of thing, it's an infinite source of wisdom, love, and compassion.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. I do, when I have recorded and listened and done the two-handed things about other things, and usually like small kind of quote-unquote trivial things, it's helpful.
Yeah, we can, again, that image of just laying it down. Just say it all, express it all, hear it all. Instead
yeah.
of, as you were describing, and it just builds and builds and builds and builds until finally it feels like I can't take this anymore. And it's true. It's true, we can't. But we can let it be there and lay it down. Let it build up, be there, lay it down. We can do that.
Alrighty.
Forever. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, now you know how
all
this
right.
works, so you'll let me know, won't you?
I will, definitely.
Okay. Take good
okay.
care of yourself, huh?
I will. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Oh, I'm so excited I got to say
sure.
that.
You're
all right.
So welcome. Good night.
Have a great night. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sigrid. I love to hear from new people, Sherry. It's great.
It's so great. I just am so appreciative.
Me too. Me too. It's wonderful. All those beacons of light out there in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I bet
Sherry,
you
we're
going to
hear
from our sponsor.
We're going to hear from our coaching program next week. And then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure thing.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes, and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen awareness coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, I think we are setting records here for number of callers. So let's jump into the next one.
We better get to them, huh? All right.
Yeah. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Michael. My name is Barbara, and I'm from New York. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes. Okay, hello, Barbara.
Okay. This is my first call in. Also, I have been following you and doing the email classes for about 4 years, 3 to 4 years. And I just wanted to express my appreciation for how you saved me and how this work, practice, has turned my life around and how I have people come up to me and tell me I'm a different person. My anger has been crushed. Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. I love you. I love Michael. I love Jan. I love every single person in this Sangha that I participate with. I think you guys are just beautiful people.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for calling in. So as you were hearing, as we were saying before, it is always such a pleasure when somebody, because I think it's a little nervous producing, right, to dial in and then push those numbers that say, you know, that voice could say you're unmuted and then there I would be. It's still a little nervous making, and yet you did it, and it's great to have you with us. And it's great. The best part is you've obviously been with us, but we didn't know it. And so now we know
it.
Which makes it really
find
good.
That, yeah. I find that just following the email classes initially just helped me to build up. And then the courage came, and then I started doing coaching. And that was, like, really terrifying, but I got over it. And it's just such a meaningful and a great way to accelerate whatever my process is.
Yes, yes, that is perfectly, beautifully stated. That as we're going along, so life takes really good care of us, doesn't it? So we're going along, and this happened to all of us. Wherever we were at some point, practice dropped into our path, into our awareness, and we took a step toward it. We said yes. And then as we go along, the next thing is there, and the next thing is there, and the next thing is there, and practice just gets bigger and deeper and more helpful for us. As you indicate, our lives begin to be obviously transformed. You know, we can feel it inside, but now people around us are noticing that we're different. We've changed. Something is happening with us. And we just keep taking the next step and the next step and the next step.
And what I really like also, that I don't necessarily even have to know anymore where I am. I used to feel like I needed to feel like I had this place, and I don't have this place anymore, and I think that's great.
Right. Right. Where am I? Well, you know, what's with when I ask people about where they are in practice, you know, I'm literally asking right now, because we don't have any idea in the big picture, right? Where are you in practice, or what's going on with, I don't know. This is what I'm looking at right now. That's all there ever is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to tell you again my appreciation. And I had a request. This is not to put anything on anyone, you know, on you specifically, but I love your CDs, and since I am in New York and it's hard for me to come out to California, I would just so be appreciative if you would do more CDs.
Uh-huh. Okay, record more things. Okay. You know, we always try to record the books, and then somehow, as soon as we finish a book, we say, okay, now we've got to record this. Okay, yeah, we're going to record this. And then time goes by and it doesn't happen. And so I will talk to the powers that be about that. So that's my commitment to you. Now, you do know, though, that you don't have to come all the way to California, although that's always our first choice because we love it when people come to the monastery. But we are going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we're going to be in North Carolina a couple of times this year. So we're getting as close as we can get.
Could you come to New York?
I haven't been to New York for a while, and it's kind of heartbreaking that for a while I was kind of a regular at Integral Yoga, but
yeah.
I haven't been there in a little while.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you there, so, and I just, it was a peak experience for me when I met you.
I was never the same afterwards.
Your meditations and everything that was going on had so brought me into a present moment that everything that I was doing for about 2 or 3 days was just being in the experience of now. It was the most wildest thing that I had ever experienced.
Wow. Okay, well, you're inspiring me. I'm going to have to plan a trip to New York and hit those folks up again.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so very much.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Oh.
What a delight. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Michael. Okay,
you're
bye.
Welcome. All righty. Thank you for joining us, Barbara. Very fun to hear from new people again, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Vanessa. How are you doing?
Well, wow, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you a first-time caller, too? I can't remember if you've ever called in before.
I am a first-time caller, yes.
Well, I thought maybe.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, first-time caller, and yeah, I'm really kind of just putting myself in the queue because egocentric karmic conditioning just said that I really couldn't do it. So
it needs to learn that that's not a good approach if it wants to control you, right?
Right, right. Wow. So here I am. That is so funny. Okay. Yeah. Well. Let's see. What am I looking at right now? I think I guess the main thing that I'm really looking at is the sort of the transformational power of kindness and just sort of kindness basically to myself or to the human being, and just like no beatings whatsoever, and just really trying to come back to that. And
yes. No beatings no matter what.
No beatings
no matter what.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And just bringing kindness. And I think the kindness is also another, like a word for like acceptance.
Yes.
And
yes,
but somehow acceptance, there's something about that sounds like resignation to me, or not resignation, but kindness somehow is, I don't know, feels different. So I've been calling it kindness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there are, to me, there's a list of words for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And they do happen to be what we're taught to think of as the negatives, right? So it's fearful and hateful and mean and, you know, disrespectful and unkind and unloving and lacking in compassion and all of that sort of thing that kind of describes that self-hating system. And then on the other side, when we get to present, there's this list that is kind of it sounds like the opposite of that. But what we always do with that opposite list of joy or kindness or freedom, love, compassion, peace, equanimity, expansiveness, generosity, gratitude, all of those sorts of things, we have to put them, at least start them with a capital letter, and often write them with a in all capital letters, because they're actually not the positive opposite to those negatives. They are the quality. We're describing the experience that actually contains the negative. So when we talk about life and the attributes of life, the qualities and characteristics of life, it's those capital letter words. So there's a joy that contains happiness and sadness. And kind is one of those. It has a particular flavor to it. So is it a synonym of all those other words? Yes, in the way that Bodhidharma and Sangha are three facets of one jewel. Mm-hmm. So they're all the same thing. People will notice with our precepts, wow, you know, if you got the hang of one of those precepts, you'd be practicing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, because they're all one thing with this, these slightly different flavors or nuances. And so kind can have a different feeling than acceptance, even though technically we could say, well, it's going to, you know, you'd have a hard time describing the difference between those two things. And yet, it has a different feel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't really be kind unless there was acceptance.
That's right.
There.
Yeah.
Already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do that with that little sequence of accept, embrace, and let go. And then we get to, you know, which do you do the, which of those do you do first? And you realize, well, you kind of have to do them all simultaneously, because as soon as you do one, you're doing them all.
Right. Yeah.
So kind definitely works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
There was the thing that, I have this thing that I think it, I can't remember where I read this or heard this, some story that you tell, and I call it the kindness of the keys. And you had, I don't know what, but going through some crazy time in your life, and you couldn't find your keys.
Yes.
And so I'm hopefully this was you. I think it was you. You made keys for yourself. You put them everywhere so you could find them. And that was just the most amazing story because for me, because it just was like, you know, I could see, like, you know, chaining something around my wrist and dragging it all around, and that would be how I would make sure I wouldn't lose my keys. But to put them everywhere, it's just like, I don't care whether you ever remember your keys again. They're going to be everywhere for you. And you can just reach out and grab one whenever you need it. Just was the...
Wow. Hearing you tell that story brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah. I just... It brings tears to my eyes, too.
Yeah. You don't have to... You don't have to meet anybody's standards.
Yeah.
I love you so much, I will do anything. Anything. Anything that you need.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anything.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Yeah, and then I was, it seems like life does that too. In fact, it's like, oh, you keep forgetting? Well, here's another key, and just reach out and just grab it. And here's another way you can get back to where you need to be. Just like everywhere there are the opportunities. You just have to reach out and here it is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And what you're saying, Vanessa, that to me is so important is that you have to be in that place of kindness in order to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say awareness practice doesn't start until the beating stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we mean. We're not saying, well, you're a bad person because you're still allowing yourself to be beaten. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is there's a whole world of kindness, of unconditional love that you're going to slip into when those beatings stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have, we're the only ones who can stop the beatings.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's just the most beautiful thing about the way life is arranged. Nobody can stop the beatings for us. Nothing besides our willingness to say about that human being, no, you don't get to do that to her. You don't get to do that to him any longer. No, no more beatings. No.
Yeah.
And then when we turn that corner, make that choice, then that world of kindness, that beautiful, unconditionally loving world opens for us and we are embraced into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and just got to keep making that choice. Keep finding
right.
that willingness. Yeah.
That's
and
right.
It's right there.
Moment by moment. And yeah. as you say, as you're indicating, the more we choose it, the easier it is to choose it. Because it's a reciprocal arrangement, right? We
mm-hmm.
reach out to life, for life reaches out to us. Right? We're not going to be forced. We're not going to be forced into a kind world. We have to want it, but as soon as we want it, oh my goodness, what opens up to support us.
Right. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah.
Right.
Lovely.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, oh, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. It's great.
Yes.
Take good
great.
Care of yourself, huh?
Yes.
Enjoy
great.
That kindness.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Michael.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Vanessa.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. And I think, Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right. Good. Let's do it.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anne from Cheshire in England.
Well, how
Hi.
Are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
What's going on? Good, good, good. What's going on?
So many things, Sherry. I wanted to start with a massive big thank you for everything. I feel a little bit emotional at the moment because I didn't think I was going to get on, so my heart's beating, so you'll have to excuse me till I get my breath.
Okay, take your time.
I have a big yellow poster on my wall with the word fear in it and radio show, so I decided I was going to bypass that fear, which was obviously one that was for me because I haven't tried to phone in for a long time. In fact, I think I did try a few times but didn't get on, and the last time we spoke was last August.
Uh-huh.
And I have
and
been
I think
listening.
The last time I got a message from you was last October. Is that correct?
Yes, from my son.
From what?
From my son, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I was trying to get through on the radio show, and the opportunity came up for my son to be at the bridge walk, and I thought, well, life's given me that opportunity, so I can pass my message that way.
Yeah, that was great. It was very fun.
Yeah, so I have so many things to talk about, but I realize time is short, but I just wanted to say thank you so much, and that my life has been permeated by Living Compassion. It's helped me so much, and the radio show, I wanted to give a shout out for making a donation to the radio show, because I don't know about other people, but I listen to the radio show perhaps 2-3 hours every day, and it just has been a lifesaver for me.
Wow.
Amazing. I feel...
We spent a lot of time with you.
Yes, because I travel a lot in the car, so it's a great way of being immersed in the unconditional love, which is what I feel I've been given as a massive gift.
Wow.
And the connection with the last caller about living in kindness, that's been my experience as well, that I feel like I live in this world of kindness, and that it's a backward and forward give and take constantly, and it's not even a give and take, it's just an experience of being immersed in kindness, and just amazing what life has, what opportunities that come around, and sometimes we're not in the right place to experience, to see them, but other times we are, and it's just that amazingness when life drops in something and you can say yes, even though conditioning tells you no. It's just having that, you know, not listening to that voice and saying yes.
Yeah, and saying yes and thank you. Yes, and thank you.
Yes, and thank
That's
you.
That's enough of a mantra, isn't it?
Yes, and thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. And a previous caller had talked about tonight as well, and also a caller last week talked, and you'd make a suggestion about building up a relationship with the mentor, and I think the last time I spoke to you, that was your advice or your suggestion to me you encouraged me to start recording and listening, and in particular the right hand, left hand exercise with regards to talking to the mentor and just building up that loving relationship. And for me, that's been the key. Really been the key for me, that relationship. And when I spoke to you last, I had talked about my sister being ill, and the next day she was in intensive care, and she died 2 days later. And I have to say, without having the mentor, that would have been so much more difficult to deal with. So thank you for that, because that caller tonight, I would definitely encourage that relationship, because when it was really challenging, I could go and talk to the mentor, and it was like having your best friend listening to you without trying to fix you, but just being okay with how you felt.
Just holding you in unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was very, very empowering. And that's, I think for me, that's been the key to being able to make that break from there's something wrong with me to that stage of unconditional love. That was the bridge for me, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And it was an organic thing, not something I could even, maybe I've not put it into the right words, but it was definitely an organic movement from feeling something rather than intellectually knowing it. It was just...
Yes, yes. That you could have your own experience, because when we touch into that unconditional love, there's no doubt about it, is there?
I mean, no.
You feel it. You know it.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So thank you so much. And,
you are so welcome.
It's not something that... You know, it was a massive transformation, and it's something that continues to grow. And even a few weeks ago, I was feeling very identified, and I was just standing in the shower, and suddenly something dropped in that one of the things that I do is, while maybe looking outside to others to kind of fix me or to save me, in fact, what I need to do is just not abandon myself, which is something I think... Mm. Another transformational moment that, with the help of the mentor, I was able to see that I abandoned myself and no one else abandons me. And it's been really interesting looking at that and looking at what are the ways I abandon myself.
I just want to check this out with you, because I project that when that moment happens, that information comes with such acceptance, such love, that you know there's no judgment. It's just a clear encouragement to look at this. Just look at this.
Yeah.
Be open to, because and then you are, and you can see it, and a whole different way of being opens up for you.
Yeah, that was it. There was no beatings. It was just I cried, and cried.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a relief in a way as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's miracle stuff. It really is. it's funny. It's such a Buddhist thing, really. The idea, my teacher used to say, here I am. I'm going to try to explain avocado to you. Okay, you've never seen an avocado, you've never tasted an avocado, and I'm going to try to explain it to you. Good luck, right? It's just, it's never going to work. But as soon as we've both tasted avocado, We just look at each other, say avocado, and we're both right there. And that's what this is like. You know, you can point at it, but you can't really put it into words for somebody who hasn't had the experience. You just point all around it. But as soon as we have the experience, ooh, it is clear as a bell.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's just trusting that with the practice, it happens.
We'll get there.
So, and Zen awareness coaching has really helped as well. Last year I had some Zen awareness coaching, and that was really, really supportive as well during the during the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, my sister was ill, I want to give a shout out for that as well, because that was really amazing.
And
there's so many practices. You know?
Well, and you're proof positive that you could be anywhere and take advantage of these things, right? You don't have to be here where we are, and because coaches can reach us anytime. Podcasts of everything, even reflective listening buddies, any of our technology things. We can be together anywhere.
Yes.
You're up in the middle of the night, for instance.
Yes, and I'm feeling lucky because you're only 7 hours behind us now, so it's not as late as normal.
That's right. Oh, that's a good deal all the way around, isn't it?
But when you go to New York, is there any possibility you could keep going across the Atlantic and
keep going? Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. As a matter of fact, I've been talking to Ashwini about that, how we can get that on the schedule, because I would love to do that.
Yeah,
come over and see you folks.
It would be amazing. Absolutely. Because your work, I work in a school with young teenagers that are excluded from mainstream schools, so have really challenging emotional and behavioral difficulties. And one of the things I use with them is, what universe are you creating? We do a word of the week, and that the inspiration comes from that work.
Lovely.
So lovely. Really, really lovely. And it's amazing how one word can permeate a whole week's work, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we came over there, I might get to meet them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. There's an extra inspiration for me.
Yeah. Well, you'd be welcomed with open arms, and anything you can do to facilitate that, my hand is raised very high. So whatever I could do. But one last thing, I'm coming to California in the summer, so I'm hoping to come, and if possible, I need to write into the guest master, I guess, to come and
say it. Trust me, you can come. Yeah, I mean, let us know when, but trust me, the gate is open. Yeah.
Thank you so much. My partner and I would like to come together, and I've explained to him that we could maybe offer to do some work at the moment, you know, some meditational.
Just come. We'll feed you and you meditate and yeah.
Okay. So who do I write into, Sherry? Just write into the guest master.
Yeah, write to guest master.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you, Michael.
You.
You're
really
welcome.
Nice. Thanks to everyone. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. Sherry, I think I'm going to burst into tears if I get any more inspiration here.
I know. Good grief.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right.
Amazing.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Talk to you next week. Okay. Bye.
Bye.